Perfect. Now that we're all here, good evening, everyone. Sorry for the wait, but welcome to the Magnolia Public School regular board meeting. My name is Jennifer Lara, and I'm the executive assistant here at Magnolia Public Schools. It's a pleasure to be with you all here today, and happy Passover. So before we begin, I did have two brief reminders. First, this meeting is being recorded. And second, if you're a member of the public and you would wish to give a comment during the public comment section of this meeting, you're more than welcome to state your name. However, if it's something that you feel uncomfortable in doing so, you do not have to state your name. But to the members of our board and staff, as always, please state your name before speaking. So with that, we're going to commence tonight's Magnolia Public Schools regular board meeting. Today is Monday, March 29th, 2021, and the time is 6:15 p.m. Rabbi Belia, can you please call the meeting to order?
Good evening, everyone. This is Rabbi Chaim Beliak. At this time, we're calling our meeting as agended to order. Could we please have the roll?
Thank you, Rabbi Beliak. I'll now take roll call so we can establish quorum. Rabbi Beliak?
Yes.
Dr. Yapanel?
Present.
Dr. Dikbudge? Dr. Dikbush? Ms. Gonzalez?
Here.
Ms. Covarrubias?
Here.
Mr. Mohamedov?
Here.
Dr. Dikbush? I see you say here. Perfect. For minutes purposes, Dr. Digvish's audio is not working, but he said here, and he put it on the chat. So with that, we do have quorum to continue tonight's meeting. Next, we'll move on with the approval of the agenda. The motion is to approve the agenda as presented. Would a board member like to move the motion?
So moved.
Thank you, Rabbi Beliak. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez. I'll now take vote. Rabbi Beliak?
Yes.
Dr. Yapanel?
Yes.
Dr. Dikbush? You can put it on the chat if your audio is still not working. Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Dr. Dikbush, does your audio still work?
I got cut out. Can you guys hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. And what are we voting now? I missed that part.
We're voting on the approval of the agenda. So the motion is to approve the agenda as presented.
Okay. Yes.
Perfect. Thank you, Dr. Dikbush. So the agenda has been approved as presented. Next, we'll move on to public comments. So just a reminder, you're given 3 minutes to state your comments, 6 minutes if translation is needed. We did not receive any public comments form for this meeting. However, if you're a member of the public and you would wish to give a comment, you may unmute yourself now. Perfect, if there's no public comments, we'll move forward with the agenda. Starting with the action items 2A, approval of updates to fiscal policies regarding policy PUR 102. This will be presented by Mr. Orzov, our Chief Financial Officer. Mr. Orzov?
Yes, thank you, Jen. Good evening, board members and Magnolia family. This is, again, we're bringing back our fiscal policies with some slight updates. As you know, we've been working on improving the efficiency and effectiveness of our policies and procedures, and we're trying to adopt the best practices in the industry, looking and kind of doing research and looking out to other nonprofit organizations and different charter schools and different institutions. So as part of that effort, we're bringing back to you the general purchasing policy PUR 102, and currently under that policy, what is stated is currently any transaction, any purchase, regardless of the dollar amount and or the expense type, it requires a PO, purchase order, before the order could be placed, meaning purchased or paid for. So the POs are initiated at the school site, approved by the principals, and reviewed and approved by the AP accounts payable, reviewed and approved by financial analyst, approved by chief operations officer if it's more than $5,000, approved by chief financial officer if it's more than $10,000, and it goes to the CEO if it's more than $25,000. In order to increase the operational efficiency and avoid delays in the procurement process, we're proposing the following revisions. One, establish a threshold for purchase orders to $1,000 and exclude any purchase below $1,000 from purchasing order requirement. Two, exclude following transactions from the purchase order system. One, compensation related expenses, salaries and benefits, building leases and debt service payments, mortgages, and other leased equipment, like sometimes we rent lease equipment like a copier machine, a postage machine and stuff like that. Utility payments, contracted services, insurance expenses, and legal expenses. Currently, because any dollar amount should be put through the purchase order system, it's a heavy, a very heavy system, which means that we're even like for some small purchase, like for $10, I don't know if it's a pen or a pencil or a notebook, the teacher is trying to purchase. What's happening is that has to go through all the way to the home office, and then we have to get certain approvals so that the teacher or the AP accounts people can place the order. And it's time consuming. Number one. Number two, it's taking time to actually go through all of those review processes and approval processes. What we're suggesting here is creating a threshold under which purchases are not going to need a PO, which is very much aligned with what is the common practice in the industry. We did a lot of research around what the other organizations are practicing in this regard, and our suggestion is in alignment with those common practices, best practices. Again, this is going to be a lot of time saving in the finance department, as well as it's going to improve the timeliness of the purchases. On the other hand, we're also suggesting that we exclude some of the purchases like compensation. Obviously, we have contracts already in place. There is, it's a repetitive effort to putting through that part of the purchasing or the disbursement of the cash, again, through the purchasing system, PO system, or the similarly building leases. We already have lease agreements which are approved by the board. List equipment, similarly, we have contracts, utilities, for example, how the utilities are, built. We are being built based on the usage. There is no control over that. Obviously, there will be a review process before the payments are made, but we're talking about pre-approval process here. So there could be no pre-approval process for utilities because it's really based on the usage. Contracted services, similarly, we have a contract in place. If it's under the board's approval threshold, it is being reviewed and approved by the CEO and superintendent. It's being reviewed by the legal counsel, Patrick. Insurance payments, legal expenses are similar expenditures that we're trying to exclude from the PO system so that we can have a more productive, more practical, and more seamless process in place. And that those are the two changes we're suggesting today to add on to our policies. With that, if you have any questions, I'm happy to address those. But this is very minor two changes that we're suggesting to the board.
Thank you, Mr. Orizov. Is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? If not, board members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item?
Yes, this is Umid. I had a question.
Sure.
Sardar, these are looks like a good improvements towards the good goal of making the organization more efficient, but I really would like to see more of these type of changes that would allow home office to run much more efficiently currently than it is. So this is just a start.
Yes, if you remember, so we increased the thresholds for chief financial officer and the chief executive officer. In the past, any dollar amount, like even if it's like 50 cents, had to make it all the way to chief financial officer to get approved to place the order. It should have gotten the pre-approval. We increased that limit to $10,000. And similarly, CEO's threshold was increased to $25,000, and we increased the board's threshold to $50,000 and the RFP amount. So we're looking into different areas where we can, look into more, in terms of, the processes we have, wherever we can bring in efficiency and practicality, we're trying to do that. But at the same time, we're making sure that we're not giving away from a compliance part. We're, again, any change we're suggesting or bringing to the board for approval, we're making sure that we're doing the due diligence and checking, doing our due diligence on the research. We're checking with auditors. Sometimes we're checking with the authorizers. We're checking with our back office supporter, the back office provider, because they're working with multiple charter schools. So, I mean, we're trying to improve the systems and simplify the systems we have in place without giving away from compliance. We again make sure that we're meeting all the compliance and we're aligned with the regulations and everything. But at the same time, we're trying to simplify the system and the processes so it's more productive and more efficient.
Thank you. This is great. Yeah, please continue doing this. Thanks.
This is Mekan. Serdar, thanks for putting this together. Quick question. So the threshold purchase orders for $1,000, what happens those are below $1,000? Is it a different kind of procedure you have in the policies?
So yes, I should have given that background. Thank you for pointing that out, Mekan. So purchase order system is a system used to have a pre-approval. So it means that any amount that is applied for purchase order or within the threshold of the purchase order should go through a pre-approval process first. And then what happens is at the end of the approval process, a PO, purchase order number, is created. And then only thereafter a purchase could be placed. And currently, the way it is set up is any dollar amount, any kind of expense. I think the only exclusion to that is compensations are subject to PO system, and we have to go through a PO order, which means through our GL system or the procurement system. The teacher has to initiate it. Principal has to approve it. It has to go all the way from the approval, through all the approval processes, right? So what we're suggesting here is we're suggesting to apply a threshold for $1,000, which means until the $5,000, any amount below $1,000 will not require a pre-approval. It will be approved by the principal, because principals currently approval limits are $5,000, as we have presented I think a couple meetings ago. It is within their threshold. They can approve it, and it will not make it all the way to the upper home office staff, and it will be placed at the school site. We will still support in the home office if the purchasing is part of the centralized purchasing, or if any support is needed from the home office staff, we'll provide that support. But in terms of approval or getting the pre-approval, it will be handled at the school site. So currently our average purchasing, from the moment the purchase is initiated until the teacher gets the order, I think it's averaging two to three weeks, which is a lot. And if we could do this, it's going to actually be a lot of flexibility to the school sites as well. They're not going to have to wait 2 or 3 weeks because of this very heavy system that we have currently in place. And then just to finish that up, so any amount below $1,000 will be approved by the principal. It will not require a PO creation. But then whenever we receive the invoice, it will be provided to the home office. It will be reviewed by AP personnel, AP staff, to make sure that all the quoting is appropriate and all the support documentation, including the receipts and packing slips, are in place. And it will further be forwarded through the AP system for the payment. That will be the challenge we have.
Yeah, the last portion made it very, very clear. Thank you, Serdar. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
This is Rabbi Chaim Beliak. I have a question. How long has this very tight system existed? that we're now liberalizing. Does anybody have an idea of the history of this?
Can anyone help me with this, Alfredo?
Yes, I do believe it has its origins after we did go through the audit, which was back in 2015. And from that audit, there was quite a bit of internal controls created with both, FICMAT, School Services of California. And at that time, obviously, I do believe that Magnolia created some very robust systems. But I do think that some of these systems didn't allow for us to pivot or to be, very nimble. So one of the things I discussed with Sardar is to really analyze the systems that we implemented back in 2015 to be able to analyze them and review them against the FICMAT guidance, our policy, and then also with the auditor to see what is obviously required for compliance and which areas are not so much. So that's why we are seeing quite a bit of these items brought before the board, because some of these, we do believe, some of these systems were a bit too complex or didn't allow us to be efficient. So every time this is brought before you, that type of vetting is being done from Sardar and bringing it to the C team and checking with everybody to make sure it's compliant. So I would say most likely some of these systems started to be built out in 2016, and we've been doing that ever since.
Thank you.
Any further questions from the members of the board?
Yeah, I have a question regarding the second bullet, excluding the items. Mm-hmm. Like, is this normal procedure? Like, for example, let's say we have some lease for copiers and the lease is ending. So does that mean we don't have to do like bidding and then we can go anyone we want?
No. Thank you. That's a very good question, Dr. Dikpash. So if we're talking about a maturing lease agreement, what's going to happen is we're going to renew that lease agreement, but that's going to, if it's under the threshold of the board's approval, it will not make it to the board, but it will be reviewed by the home office staff, by myself, by legal counsel, and at the end of the day, if everything looks good, it will be signed by our chief executive officer and superintendent. And at that point, we will have a new lease agreement. But if the amount is about the board approval limit, then it will make it to the board for your review and your approval. So the idea behind having a purchase order system is to pre-approve the expenses so that we know what's coming our way before we are billed. But if we have already a contract, if we're still subjecting it to another approval process, it's kind of a repetitive work, and it's we're asking, or we're kind of approving the same expense twice because it was already approved as part of the contract signing.
Okay, thanks. As long as you have a system that can prevent,
absolutely,
or whatever expiring, and then they're just checking up the price.
No, absolutely.
As long as we have that mechanism, that's it.
This by no means changes anything on when it comes to quote requirements or bidding or anything like that. This is just for pre-approval. And again, there are a lot of organizations, I'd say more than 50% of the organizations are not even using PO system. So it is a good system to use, but I think it's important to find a right balance. If you subject all the expenses to a PO system, it will be very impractical in real life.
And all these changes are in compliance with the FICMAT guidelines, right?
Absolutely. So FICMAT guidelines, here's what say FICMAT guidelines says. If you use the PO system, and it goes on, which means you don't even have to use the PO system. It's not mandated by any law.
Okay.
Thank you. Any further questions from the members of the board? Okay, if not, the motion is for the board to approve the proposed updates to the Fiscal Policies and Procedures Manual of Magnolia Public Schools regarding policy PUR 102 General Purchasing. Would a board member like to move the motion?
I move the motion.
I'll second it.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. I'll now take vote. Rabbi Belia?
Yes.
Dr. Yapanol?
Yes.
Dr. Tikbush?
Yes.
Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Thank you to our board. The motion carries with unanimous approval. Next, we'll move on to 2B, approval of updated health and safety policy and injury and illness prevention plan, IIPP, COVID-19 addendum. This will be presented by Ms. Hush Mirza, Director of Human Resources. Ms. Hush Mirza?
Thank you, Jennifer. Good evening, board members, colleagues, and community. Before I present this item, just wanted to inform that there was a minor change on page 10 under section 4 testing. We wanted to clarify the testing cadence for co-located LAUSD sites. We changed it to the testing the charter school student and employees must undergo for COVID testing every 2 weeks for school sites, Magnolia Science Academy, 167 San Ana and San Diego, and weekly testing for MSA 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 after the baseline testing. So I just wanted to get that on the record. This is already uploaded on Board on Track. So just wanted to give that. And with this item, I'm asking the board to move the motion to approve our updated health and safety policy based on the recent guidelines that we received. The highlights are on the exposure management planning, effective March 29, California, they have SB 95, they passed a law effective March 29. Which will allow the employees to have supplemental paid sick leave. And also in that same section, we are also extending the family and medical leave, Families First Coronavirus Response Act, FFCRA. Based on the recent guidance, the physical distancing is reduced to 3 feet between students. And also under the vaccination, under the SB 95, employees will be able to have supplemental paid sick leave if they're having any vaccine, any side effect, or if they need to time off. And on the injury and illness prevention program, COVID-19 addendum, the same policy, FFDRA policy, is also included under the IIPP plan. And those were the changes. If you have any questions, I'm open to any other questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hush Mirza. Is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? If there's no questions or comments, board members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item? Perfect. If there's no questions, the motion is for the board to approve the updated health and safety policy and IIPP COVID-19 addendum. Would a board member like to move the motion?
I'll move the motion.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Dr. Dickbush. I'll now take vote. Rabbi Beliak?
Yes.
Dr. Yapanol?
Yes.
Dr. Dickbush?
Yes.
Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Thank you to our board members. The motion carries with unanimous approval. Next on the agenda.
I have one minor feedback related with this. the long name of the CDC is Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, even though, yeah, it doesn't have it. It's minor, but yeah.
I see. Thank you for that, Dr. Dickbush. Mm-hmm. Next on the agenda, we'll move on to action item 2C, which is approval of revised 2020 through 21 Magnolia Public Schools hybrid reopening plans. This will be presented by Mr. Ajar, our Chief Academic Officer. Mr. Ajar?
Yes, thank you, Jan. Good evening, board members, Magnolia family and partners. In front of you is our revised and updated reopening plans for in-person instruction. We are recommending as a staff for you to approve our in-person reopening plans for all of our schools, Magnolia Science Academies 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, Santa Ana and San Diego on April 12, 2021, in accordance with the and compliance with the safety orders and community expectations and corresponding laws and regulations. As you know, we presented a similar item in our last board meeting, March 11th. And during that time, all of our staff members gave you detailed explanations and long presentations on our plans, spanning our academic, operational, health and safety, communications, family engagement aspects. So since then, we have been working on the next steps. Basically, we finished the town hall meetings, presenting our in-person plans to our families and community. We solicited feedback in terms of the commitment for in-person instruction. The data shows on this cover page as about 45% of our respondents choosing hybrid in-person instruction. The updated data as of today is actually 41%, accounting for those who did not respond. About 3,800 students, they responded. And around 1,900 of them are coming back in person. This is a number in sync with other organizations, community schools and statewide and nationwide. We do have fluctuations depending on grade levels and grade spans. That percentage and number changes. Since then, also we have been working in terms of updating our schedules, master schedules, student schedules, teacher schedules. Our school leaders team have been planning for that, as well as getting ready our schools for in-person instruction with the technology infrastructure, with the PPE and the readiness of health and safety protocols. As we all know, this situation is still fluid. We're in a dynamic era that we are following all county health department orders, as well as we are following up our authorized schools, districts, and authorizers' recommendations. We are being nimble, resilient, trying to accommodate all the changes, including being in sync with our authorizer LAUSD in terms of their reopening plans, which they have about the end of April for reopening grade levels. But our communications and contacts with them are progressing, that we now know that we have access to school sites with our testing and surveillance testing programs, thanks to our board approval and our partners. So the updated communications coming from our co-located sites, we are making adjustments as well, depending on their requests. As for co-located sites, we are being asked to comply with their the compliance and health and safety protocols. So we're making adjustments accordingly. As you know, all of our schools are right now, except Santa Ana, all of our schools are in spring break. Up next is our teachers coming back and preparing their classrooms for in-person instruction, making sure their systems run smoothly for sync and async learning. At the same time, we are having that model happening in our schools. Making dry runs, making orientation materials, training materials, and protocols available for our students and families. With that, we updated our reopening protocols and hoping to open our school doors once again on April 12th to our students and families. I'll turn it back to you, Jen, for any questions or comments.
Thank you, Mr. Ajar. Is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? There's no questions or comments. Board members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item?
I think this is Rabbi Chaim Beliak. I think it's just important to pause and note the solemnity and the detail that has been a part of this very complex process. And if everything goes well, I, as a board member, certainly welcome the resumption of something approaching the way we should be working again. And I congratulate the staff for having put these plans together and having brought them to this moment.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Yeah, thank you for that, Rabbi Beliak. Is there any other questions or comments from the members of the board? If there's no further questions or comments, the motion is for the board to approve the Magnolia Science Academy 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, Santa Ana and San Diego to reopen in person in compliance with health and safety orders, community expectations, and corresponding law and regulations on April 12, 2021. Would a board member like to move the motion?
So moved.
Thank you, Rabbi Beliak. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez. I'll now take vote. Rabbi Beliak?
Yes.
Dr. Yapino?
Yes.
Dr. Dickbus?
Yes.
Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Ms. Covarrubia?
Yes.
Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Thank you to our board members. The motion carries with unanimous approval. So that concludes all of our action items for tonight's meeting. Next, we'll move on to closed session. With that, Rabbi Beliak, may you please announce the closed session items?
The board is going to look at a number of items that require us to consult with staff and attorneys, and we'll report out.
Thank you for that, Rabbi Beliak. For those who need to attend the closed session, I have opened the room, so you may join at this time. For those who are still in open session, you're more than welcome to stay. You can turn off your cameras until we reconvene open session. Perfect. So welcome back, everyone, to Welcome back to open session. The time is 7:57 p.m. Rabbi Beliak, may you please report out of closed session?
So the board met with the CEO and other staff and gave instructions to them, and we're expecting that they'll follow our recommendations. And if there's no other business, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Thank you for that, Rabbi Beliak. So we can adjourn the meeting at 7:58 p.m.
Thank you, everyone. Have a pleasant evening.
Thank you, guys.
Happy spring break. Happy Easter. Happy Passover. Happy.
Yes. happy festivities, everybody.
Happy day.
Have a good one. Good night.
Bye, everyone.